to all those sitting comfortably at home, you sensible people, and a very, very warm welcome to our worship at Wanford Methodist Church this morning. I've got a couple of notices which I'll read to you now. Firstly, I've been asked to tell you about the shoeboxes. They'll be prepared here shortly for a Christian charity called Blythswood Care. And if you'd like to donate something, you can give a box for... They're preparing boxes for children, teenagers or adults. There are leaflets available in church if you'd like to take one before you go. And there's also a notice in contact. They need empty shoe boxes, and they also need donations towards boxes. So you don't have to give a whole box packed. But if you'd like to give something, do speak to Sue, who with perfect timing has just walked in. So any more info, speak to Sue about that. There'll be no prayers this Wednesday, but what there will be is a Bible study on Zoom on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. when we'll be looking at holy habits, and led by myself and Monica and Caroline. So if you'd like, if you're interested in coming along to that, if you let myself or Monica or Leslie Allbrow know, and she'll send you a link for that. Christian Aid are organising an online moment of reflection, which is for those who have lost a loved one during this year. And, that will take place on Wednesday, the 4th of November. So please see Alison for further details about that. And finally, a big plug for next Sunday, when our worship will be led by the ICE team. ICE stands for the Initiative for Christian Education. Is that right, Tony?
Yes.
Oh, well. I'm told they've got a very good order of service lined up for us. So do come along hear what they have to tell us about the work that they're doing in Exeter. So that's all the notices. So without further ado, we'll begin our worship. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us here in this building, or whether we're sitting at home, wherever we are. We are gathered here this morning in presence and in spirit. You are with us, and you bind us together by your spirit. So fill us, guide us, touch our hearts and our minds, and may we all, wherever we are, worship you in spirit and in truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing our first hymn. Thank you. faithfulness with us at all times, and even when our love for you wanes and grows cold, your love for us remains strong and your flame for us burns brightly, and you continue to carry us and to hold us. So Lord, remind us that at each and every moment of our lives, you hold us in the palm of your hand. That when we feel forgotten, that you know each one of us by name, and that we are valued and loved more than we can ever imagine. So help us, Lord, to accept that we are loved, and to allow your love to completely transform us. Remind us, Lord, that we don't have to earn your love, that we don't have to strive to become worthy, but that through what Christ has done for us, you have said we are worthy, we are holy, and we simply have to live as people who know that. We simply have to realize what we already are, what you have declared us to be. And for that, Lord, we can't thank you enough. Help us to be all that you want us to be. And may your love completely transform us and fill us with joy and with peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now imagine something that's really precious to you. And if you're at home, it might be something that's in the room with you that you can take and hold. And depending on your age, it could be a favourite toy, or it could be a wedding ring, or it could be a pet, a dog or a cat or a tarantula. Some people love tarantulas. I don't. I can't stand them. But and it could be anything. It could be something that's really, really special to you. And just think that the world is like that to God. Really, really precious. Really, really special. Really, really loved. Now imagine that really, really precious thing that you've got. Imagine if you lose it, or imagine if it gets broken. Just imagine how upset you'd be. Imagine how upset God gets when he sees the world that he loves getting broken, because it is broken. Imagine how the people that God loves, which are the most precious things to God of all, ignoring God, saying, I don't need God, I don't want God. And that means that the world gets even more broken and even more damaged. And imagine how upset God must be. And then imagine if that thing that you lost and you found it again, or that thing that got broken, somebody repaired it for you. Just think how happy you would be. And now imagine how happy God must be when somebody says, actually, I've just realised that God really loves me. And I want to live my life with God in it. And I want to live for God. And I want to have God's love in my life. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that makes God happier than that. And that's what the story of Noah's Ark is about. It starts off sad, but there is actually a happy ending. The world that God really, really loves has got really badly damaged because people ignore God. And everything goes wrong. Absolutely everything goes wrong. So God says, this is terrible. I've really got to do something about this. And then there's a huge flood. But there is one man who really loves God, who really, really loves God and wants to do the right thing. So there's hope. And God says, well, I can take this one man, and through him there can be a new beginning. So yes, there's a flood, but eventually there's a new start. And through that one man and his family, and of course all the animals that fit onto his ark, even tarantulas, I assume, unfortunately for me, you might be glad about it, but I'm not. Because of Noah and his family and those animals, there could be a new start. So everything went wrong. But God made sure, because he loves the world so much, that there was a happy ending in the end. Amen. So, could we have our first reading, please? Thank you, Mandy.
Reading verses 1 to 6, and then again from 17 to 22. This reading is taken from the New International Version. The Great Flood. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on earth. Continuing from verse 17. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our next hymn is 486, He Who Would True Valor See. Second reading, please. Thank you.
The second reading is taken from Genesis 8, reading first from verse 1, then 6 to 14, and then 20 to 22. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. And then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could not find nowhere to perch because the water was all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent out the dove again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month of the earth was completely dry. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and said, taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all the living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Amen.
So we come to our time when we pray for others and for the world. And I'll leave a short time where you can pray for anything that might be on your minds and hearts. So let's pray. Lord, we bring before you a world that in so many ways is damaged, often by conflict. And we think of scenes in Nigeria, in Cameroon, in Zimbabwe, in the Middle East, and elsewhere, Lord, where people are in violent conflict and innocent people are caught in the crossfire. We remember those who have had to flee their homes and are looking for a safe place to live. Lord, we pray for those who suffer from the after effects of natural disasters. We pray for those, Lord, who are persecuted for their faith. We pray for those who live without you and who don't know that peace, that assurance, and that love that can only come from you. We pray, Lord, for countries and communities the world over living with COVID-19, especially those poorer communities that are less able to cope. We pray for governments around the world, Lord, and we pray that especially those whose decisions affect the lives of millions, Lord, that you will give them wisdom and compassion and a desire to further the common good. And also, Lord, we pray for those who are known to us, the people that we want to lift before you this morning. And in the silence of our hearts, Lord, we just bring before you whatever it is that's weighing our minds and hearts, whether it's a person, a situation, or something that we just want to lay in front of you this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, what's the story so far? Well, we've had God bringing a beautiful yet ordered world out of swirling chaos. We saw things starting to go wrong as human beings started to turn away from God and try to be self-sufficient. And we've seen how that works out in individual scenarios and how sin can fracture human relationships. And now, we've got two chapters where we've got a big picture thing, a great natural disaster, and also the story of one family. So we've got a big picture thing and a small picture thing as well. And so I bring you the flood and its outcome. Now, a lot of our Noah's Ark scenes are quite cozy, aren't they? You might have had, or you might still have, a Noah's Ark set, a wooden Noah's Ark with lots of cute animals. Or you might remember a Noah's Ark scene in a picture Bible with a couple of cute ducks and nice giraffes. And there's never any horrible animals, are there? They're always nice animals, and they're never eating each other. And that's how we invariably depict this great boat and all these animals. And these animals never, ever go to the loo, do they? They're animals that never eat each other, never go to the loo. They're wonderful, and they're cute, aren't they? And it's all quite cozy. And yet this is a story of a massive natural disaster. It's a scene of utter devastation. But at the same time, there are also wonderful, intimate touches where God personally, individually takes care of Noah and his family. My favourite bit in this whole episode is where God, after Noah and his family go onto the ark, God shuts them in. God makes sure they're safely on board. Amidst all that's happening, God takes that kind of care and attention of Noah and his family. Amidst this swirling devastation, there's that intimate, caring love of God right at the heart of it. But this scene is quite scary, because at the beginning of this series we had God separating the seas and the skies. God's taking all this chaos and separating different bits to create a separate sky, a separate earth, a separate sea. And now it's as if that created order is being undone. The heavens are opening and water's coming out and flooding everywhere, and it's as if everything is unravelling. And I wonder if that's the point, that this is the impact that sin has on the world. It unravels everything. It unravels the order that God created. Not just human relationships and human lives, but that the whole order of things that God created to be good and fruitful. So perhaps human rebellion against God has far wider reaching consequences than we often think. Now, this is mysterious stuff. This is beyond our ability to fully comprehend. But here, as we read of this flood and this righteous man, we do learn something important about God and about how he relates to people. As I've said, this is, in one sense, a big picture story. And things haven't gone wrong in a way that means God can just do a bit of firefighting. Well, he can't, because it's water. But because there's this whole-scale stinking mass of sin, and it's spread everywhere. I remember when I was little, I saw a Bible story cartoon on the telly, and it was about Noah's Ark, and they depicted this sinful world as people lying on a couch eating grapes. And I took from that eating grapes was somehow sinful. So be careful how you present things to children, because they sometimes take the wrong message home from things. So this is a turning away from God that's whole scale, and it's wrecked everything. That's why God's response is so dramatic. But in God's response, God plants the seeds of a new beginning. God will nurture this one family. God will nurture something small. God knows that this will be the start of a new beginning. It says in the text that God remembers Noah. God remembered Noah. And it means remembered, not in the sense of calling to mind after having forgotten. It's not that God thinks, wasn't there a man I was going to save? Oh, Noah, yes. Remember means acting decisively for. The thief on the cross says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he's using the word remember in the same sense. Act decisively on my behalf to save me, to deliver me. That's the sense that God remembers Noah. So this is not a story about the dangers of floods and how to deal with them. It's about how sin fractures things, but how God is also active in the world to bring, yes, judgment, but also deliverance. And then comes something extraordinary, something that could only come from God. God says, "Never again will I curse the ground because of human beings. And I will never again curse the ground because every inclination of his heart is evil." Do you see something wrong with that? I will never again curse the ground because every inclination of his heart is evil. Now, some Bibles translate that as, "I will never again curse the ground even though every inclination of people's hearts are evil." They try to make it more logical, but the original translation is not logical. Or rather, it's God's own particular brand of logic. Even though people are sinful and will continue to be sinful, God will not do this again. God will not curse the ground again. God will resolutely be gracious, not in spite of human sin, but because of human sin. It says here, God will be gracious, not because we are sinners, not in spite of the fact we are sinners, but because we are sinners. So what do we learn in these two chapters? Well, we learn something about the character of God. There might not be much that we can take away practically and say, because it says this, we've got to go and do that. But part of the purpose of Scripture is to teach us about God's character, to bring us closer to that same God, and to enable us to recognize God when we encounter him. And this teaches us important truths about God. And we discover two great hallmarks of God's character. Firstly, a refusal to accept sin. Because God is holy and sin can't come into contact with holiness. God will not accept it. Full stop. And secondly, the other great hallmark of God's character is a determination to be gracious at all costs. Now, do those two things sound mutually exclusive? Do they? Well, they are. They do not go together. They cannot be reconciled. God reconciles them anyway. God, somehow, we don't know how, we can't understand it, it's beyond us, but God holds them together. God will not accept sin, and God will never be anything other than gracious. Perhaps that explains the cross, in which God both addresses the root cause of sin and shows his grace in the most costly, self-giving way possible. What an amazing God we have. A God who cannot accept sin, and yet a God who will always, always, always be gracious and pour out his grace and love on the world he created. Amen. Our last hymn is number 465. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Lord, bless us in the coming week with glimpses of your grace and mercy, and may we always respond with thankfulness. Bless us all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.